Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Wednesday morning. Wednesday, May the 10th, 2023, 13 minutes past the hour. And what a beautiful morning it is. 44 degrees and sunny skies here in the Marion area. Looks like it's going to be pretty beautiful today and beautiful tomorrow. Now, we have to get into the Mother's Day weather report, which apparently is ever-changing at this particular point. Now, Monday, I came on and I said, it looks like Mother's Day is going to be rainy. Now, at that time, the report showed that Mother's Day looked like it was going to rain. Yesterday, the weather report was absolutely rain on Mother's Day. Showers from morning until late afternoon. Now, this morning, I looked at the weather report for Mother's Day, and it's not showing any rain, but not very good temperatures at this point. 64 degrees. But here's what I've learned. It's only Wednesday. So by the time Sunday actually comes around, it could be 90 degrees at this point. The way the weather report looks for the rest of the week, today looks like we're going to get up in the 70s. Tomorrow, possibly 80s and sunny. Friday, the rain starts, and we get a little bogged down in the rain. Saturday does not look like a great day. Looks like a rainy day. And then Sunday looks like cool temperatures at this point. But if you're getting ready to do something with mom, I don't know if outside's going to be the way to go because we continually are going back and forth on the weather on Mother's Day. But that's your current Mother's Day weather report update. You know, I was thinking, what are the popular things to do with mom on Mother's Day? Now, going out to lunch has always been the most popular. And I'll tell you, the funny thing is, when I used to work at a restaurant when I was in high school and a little bit of college, the funny thing was the busiest day of the year was absolutely Mother's Day, which is always on a Sunday. But it's interesting because you're busy for breakfast. Lunch is the busiest. I mean, you're out the door with a line at lunch. But if you work Mother's Day night, like after 3, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, it is dead. It is dead. Nobody's coming in. Now, why don't people take mom out for dinner or supper, as people refer to it? They always take her out for breakfast or dinner because I don't know. Now, that's a whole nother thing. Lunch is 12 o'clock. Breakfast is in the morning, but some people call the 12 o'clock meal dinner. Now, I know supper is the 5 o'clock meal. Now, dinner, I don't know. I guess my point is here this morning when it comes to Mother's Day. We were talking about language yesterday, so we don't want to get back in that bailiwick. But breakfast is busy, lunch is busy, but the 5 o'clock meal is dead. Mother's Day night, people were always getting sent home early. It is just as dead as could be. Probably the deadest night of the year, maybe next to a snowstorm, when it comes to the restaurant business. So that's how Mother's Day goes. So I think taking mom out to eat is a big thing. Hanging plants have become a big thing for Mother's Day because we're heading into the summer months in May. So that's a big gift. A lot of people make homemade things for mom because kids are still in school in May. That's a popular thing. What else do people get mom on Mother's Day? I've definitely seen the hanging plants. I've definitely seen dinners and food in general, I guess, is the way to do it. But What else do people get mom for Mother's Day? Do they buy her clothes? Do they... Well, gift cards are always a big thing now. Do they give her gift cards? What do you get mom on Mother's Day? Any thoughts on this? 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. 18 minutes past the hour. And I guess a lot of this depends on what your mom likes. If your mom likes a certain thing, you get it for her. Now, I think some people get their mom kitchen appliances because that's a little different. You know, there used to be an old rule. You did not want to get your spouse or your boyfriend, girlfriend, or anything like that. You did not want to give them a kitchen appliance for their birthday or for Christmas because for some reason that was more of a gift for you because they were going to use that to cook you something. Now, some people like that, but some people really did not like that. But I think when you get it from your kids, I don't think any mom gets a gift from their kids and goes, oh, this is awful. I think a mom just takes the gift, takes the flowers, takes the dinner, takes the gift card, and says, oh, it's so great to see my kid. I'm so glad I'm your mother. I'm so glad you're my kid, and... You know, you go on down the road. So that's Mother's Day at this point. But does anybody have any good ideas for Mother's Day gifts? That's an interesting subject, and it's coming up on Sunday. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. And in the ever-changing weather forecast, it looks as if on Sunday it's going to be cool, but okay. Now, I do want to make a, this is kind of a twofold thing I want to get into here. I was looking at some posts on Facebook last night, and a lot of people have gotten into, when they're not feeling well, posting updates on how they're doing, which I think is perfectly fine, because a lot of people want to know, and if you don't see that person, that's a good way to update them in social media. But I'll tell you, I was reading one of these posts last night from somebody who I'm a friend of, and it is so hard to read these posts because one of these posts was so not positive. It was just, things aren't going well, and we're going to have to come up with a different form of treatment here, and the outlook doesn't look good. You know, it must be terribly hard to write something like that. It just... You know, it's sad. And I just wanted to make mention of all the people who might be going through something right now. You know, I just think it's so... First of all, we have to thank our blessings that we are lucky and we are able to do things and we're not going through something like that. But then we have to look at people who are going through something like that and say, you know, man alive, I'm certainly thinking of you, and I hope things get better. But, I don't know, that was just a little striking thing last night. Now, yesterday, and I don't want to get too deep into this either, we had a little contretemps on the air, if you were listening to the show. What happened was, a friend of mine, Brody, called in yesterday morning at 8:30, and he laid out his Twinkie challenge. Now, this was all thought of by Brody, and he laid it out yesterday. If you were listening to the show, he laid out why it happened and how it happened and so on and so forth. Apparently, on Monday, I guess it would have been Monday, he was at the grocery store, and somebody came through and bought one of the big, extra-large boxes of Twinkies. And this drove him, because he's a big fan of Joey Chestnut and the you know, eating contests. And he said, you know, I wonder how many Twinkies I could eat in 10 minutes. And I wonder how many people would like to participate in this. And Brody, I think, said his goal would be 50 in 10 minutes. So Monday night, he went out to the driving range and was talking to the people out there about it. And they said, hey, that sounds like a fun, good idea. We'll buy the Twinkies. And we also might supply a prize for the winner. Okay, all that sounded good. So he called in here, and he said, you know, do you think anybody else would want to participate? We really don't want any more than four people, because we'll probably only have about 200 Twinkies. And I said maybe women should participate. I talked about Abby. I did learn yesterday, kind of oddly enough, that Abby was listening to that. And apparently she was in, I think she said she was in the car with her son. And she backed out of it. But her son, I think, wanted her to participate. And her son certainly wanted to participate. Because it's kind of a fun thing to do. Anyway, the contretemps came up when in the next hour, after Brody was on, Adam called in and felt that we were condoning eating large quantities of Twinkies and so on and so forth. And essentially, that was the conversation that happened on the air. And all I want to say about that whole thing is, once again, we're not condoning it. I'm not saying that eating large amounts of Twinkies is a good idea. But then again, I don't go shopping with people, so I don't know what they buy anyway. You know, I'm sure people buy a lot of things in the store. And it's kind of ironic in an interesting way that Adam always brings up smoking and his freedom for people to smoke. Now, I don't know that Adam's condoning smoking, but I certainly don't know that that's good for your health. But, you know, with a Surgeon General's warning on the side of the package. But all I'm saying here is, I am not encouraging anybody to eat mass amounts of Twinkies. I'm not saying that's going to be good for your health if you're diabetic or something else. But you also have free will in this world. And if you approach me with the idea, and it sounds like something fun, you do it. Because that's how radio works. That's how television works. How many silly things do we see on television from time to time? But the overall point of this is, I'm glad we were able to have that conversation on the air, because, you know, other stations I don't think would have that conversation on the air. And we did. And I did not know that conversation was coming. So we did not have that in a back room. How should I say this? We didn't have that conversation in a back room. We had it in front of everybody. So everybody got to hear the pros and cons of everything. So I'm happy that we were able to do that. So that's the good part of it. And whatever happens from here, happens from here. If anybody has any thoughts on the whole Twinkie eating thing or the conversation that ensued yesterday after it, give me a buzz. 740-751-4038. Or gifts for mom on Mother's Day. Those are the two topics that are on the table here this morning. 740-751-4038. Also, we did get a terrible, terrible story overnight that I think a gentleman in his mid-40s was killed in a motorcycle accident here in Marion County. He wasn't wearing a helmet, unfortunately. And it's just a sad story. We have it up on the WWGH Facebook page. But, you know, it's just sad. You know, people are out having a good time because the weather's getting nicer. Apparently, it happened 9:20 last night on Prospect Upper Sandusky Road in Marion County. Gerald Lyman was the person driving. Harley-Davidson, 2006 Harley-Davidson, 45 years old, of Prospect. You know, it's just terribly, terribly sad. Struck by a deer, or struck a deer is what it looks like here. And that's another scary thing this time of year, is that there are a lot of deer on the road, and those are easy things to run into, to be sure. So we're sorry, and certainly our thoughts go to the family of Mr. Lyman in that particular accident that happened last night at 9:20. Deer are rough. You know, when you're out there, you got to be very, very cognizant of what's going on. So that was a sad story from last night. Okay. What else did I want to talk about here this morning? Well, Well, here's something. You know, Mother's Day is coming up, but I was trying to think of something interesting to do this weekend on Saturday. Last weekend was kind of a busy week. We had election coverage. We did a taping on Wednesday. We did a radio show on Friday. It was just a busy week. And, you know, yesterday I was... my computer does weird things, my social media. Yesterday, I pulled up memories from past years. Sometimes it shows them to me, sometimes it doesn't. But 2 years ago, during this week, I went to Sugar Creek, which there are just so many interesting things to do in Sugar Creek, Amish country. And the big cuckoo clock and the great restaurants over there, Der Dutchman and Boyd and Worthman, and all kinds of great shops over there. And it's just a fun place to go and only about 2 hours away. And I thought, well, wouldn't it be interesting? Because the Tiffin Flea Market is coming up on the 20th. Now that I am determined to get to. And hopefully the weather will be good for that. So that's the following weekend. But this weekend, I'm thinking maybe it might be a time to take a little trip over to Amish country. Because it's been 2 years since I've been over there. And the last time I was over there, I don't even think I really got the chance to eat over there. Because it, I think it was packed, if I remember right. I think the restaurants were just very busy. So maybe I'll take a trip over to Amish country this weekend. That sounds like fun. It's always fun to hop in the car with someone and just head over to these places and have a good time and see what happens. I sometimes think the unexpected things that happen are more fun than the expected things that happen. So does anybody have any thoughts on Sugar Creek or that area? Do you enjoy going over there? So the questions right now are gifts for Mother's Day. What do you think of the big Twinkie Challenge? And what do you think of Sugar Creek? Is that one of the more interesting places that you enjoy visiting? 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. 30 minutes past the hour on this beautiful, beautiful Wednesday morning. Midweek here in... midweek? What does that mean? Midweek here in Marion, Ohio. All right. Well, last night, I did something kind of interesting. You know, as I said, last year, I was cooped up this time of year. Really, from last March until pretty much fair time, maybe July, I was kind of cooped up and not able to do much. So this year, I'm determined to get as much in as possible. So last night, I went down to the pond and just had a good time down there. And I wore a pair of shoes. Now, apparently, this pair of shoes that I wear are indescribable, I guess is what we would call them. They're indescribable. Because every time I wear these shoes or bring them out, nobody knows what they are. They say, well, what kind of shoes are those? Because clearly they're not Converse, they're not a canvas shoe, they're not a sandal, they're not work boots, they're not anything like that. They pretty much are a tennis shoe. They're a sports shoe. They're cleated on the bottom. And I bought these a few years ago. They're cleated on the bottom, and they're a very good shoe. The shoe is very well made. They're black. They have laces. So I'm down at the pond last night, and I'm getting questioned again on these shoes. What kind of shoes are those? So I take a picture of the shoes. This is what we do in current times. I take a picture of the shoes, and I put them up on social media. And, of course, the comments start coming. As a matter of fact, the comments are still coming. I believe we're up over 40 comments at this particular point, and it hasn't even been up 24 hours. But it's interesting that everybody has an opinion on this. And the funny thing is, I don't know if people, some people are trying to guess the brand of the shoe. But I'm more interested in what the shoe is for. Because it's certainly not a dress shoe. You wouldn't wear it to a wedding or a funeral, I don't think, and maybe unless you had some bad feet. It's definitely not a sandal. It's definitely not a boot. See, I think it's definitely a sports shoe. There's no doubt about that. But what makes a tennis shoe a tennis shoe? And what makes another sports shoe another sports shoe? Now, that's kind of a complicated question. But does anybody, what makes a tennis shoe a tennis shoe? Does anybody have any thoughts on this? 740-751-4038. Because to be honest with you, these are the shoes that I would go out and walk in. These are the shoes that I would go out and run in. And if I was going hiking or anything like that, these are the shoes that I would wear. They're, you know, I would not wear regular shoes because I don't think you'd get much traction with regular shoes. And you certainly wouldn't wear dress shoes out to the pond or to hiking or something like that. So I think you would wear these shoes. And they kind of, to me, look like people guessed baseball shoes. People guessed skateboarding shoes. People guessed bowling shoes. Although, I don't really know these days who owns their own bowling shoes. I know that used to be a big thing. I haven't seen anybody own bowling shoes in quite a while. I don't know. It's just, I guess my thing is they are a more sporty type of shoe than anything else. But if anybody has anything to say or saw the picture online, give me a buzz. We'd love to hear from you. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. All right, still looking for a new phone. I'll tell you, this is more of a traumatic event for me than you would think. I guess it's because I'm not taking the time to do it. We're having these nice nights, and I'm not really taking the time that I should to do it because I don't feel like I'm pressured into doing it because I just am not somebody who relies on their phone a whole lot. But still in that process, and I'll keep you updated as we go along. TikTok and Snapchat, you know, I didn't do anything with that last night because the 2 days that I've had it, I don't know. To me, I was talking with some people yesterday about TikTok and Snapchat, and to be honest with you, the TikTok thing, I guess you have to find the videos that interest you, and then it sets up an algorithm, and then all those videos start coming to you. I don't know. I'd have to be on there more to probably start that algorithm. And as far as Snapchat goes, I don't understand Snapchat at all. The only thing I can see as part of Snapchat is you can track where people are. And frankly, I don't care where people are. So I don't know that I'm a big Snapchat person at this particular point. But if you like Snapchat, go ahead and enjoy that. As it may. You know, I was talking to somebody last night because I was talking about possibly going to Sugar Creek this weekend, and I was talking about going to Upper Sandusky a couple weekends ago and going to Lima, and I was also talking about making a trip back up to Toledo. I haven't been up there in about 2 years. Possibly going up to Detroit. Also talked about the Tiffin Flea Market, maybe going over to Blooming Grove. Just doing some fun things, maybe over to Ontario. You know, when you really think about it, there are so many interesting day trips that you can make in Ohio. And I've made a lot of these trips in the last 2 or 3 years. But it's fun still to get out and do them. Because when you haven't done them in a while, you forget things. And every trip is different, to be honest with you. I mean, you go with different people. You do different things. You go at different times of the day, different times of the year. You know, every trip is different. So, I don't know. The last two trips that I took, I have done before. But as I said, they were a little different this time because the Upper Sandusky trip, I went in the daylight this time. So, when I had went previously, it was dark. So, it was kind of hard to see certain things like the covered bridge and some of the graves I went to that were historic because it was late at night. It was dark. This time we went in the afternoon or early evening, and it was daylight. So it was just much easier to see everything. And Lima, the big difference in Lima was that I had went during the pandemic before, and you could not eat inside Cupie's, which is a great diner since 1928, and you could not go down and look at certain things in the Historic Society Museum, Allen County Historical Society, because a lot of things weren't on display because of the pandemic. So that was a big difference there going this time. Plus, we did some different things in Lima. It's really just timing. Now, Sugar Creek, the last time I went there, we did certain things, but like I said, we didn't get to eat there, so I haven't done that yet. And when it comes to Toledo, I've been up there a whole lot of times, but I only went to the Maumee area one time, which is a great, great beach area up there, which I would just like to go to. I think the last time I went, it was kind of cold up there. May have been October or November. So it'd be great to go back up to the Maumee while visiting Tony Paco's. I don't think I ever went to Detroit. I haven't been to Detroit in probably 5 or 6 years. So that would be a trip from doing something that I haven't done in a really long time. But I don't know. There's always something to do. And I don't think I ever went to Blooming Grove with anybody. So that would be a new one as well. But all kinds of interesting stuff to do in Ohio. And I did make it to the Tiffin Flea Market one time 2 years ago. But as I say, that was a bad day. I had some kind of allergic reaction, and I had to leave probably 15 to 20 minutes after getting there. So that was no fun, and I never made it back because I did not get to go back last year. So hopefully on the 20th of the 10 days from now, I'll get to make my return to the Tiffin Flea Market and actually enjoy it and get to look at some things that I've wanted to look at over there at the fairgrounds, like old radios. And you never know what you're going to stumble on. You know, that's a fun thing about it. You never know what kind of items you're going to stumble on when you're in an area like that. So, looking forward to that. All right. Does anybody have anything to say so far? 40 minutes past the hour. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Well, I got skateboarding shoes is now a guest on my shoes. We've had soccer shoes, skateboarding shoes. Some people don't know what kind of shoes they are. Some people think they're ugly shoes. I've had some brand names shouted out. Kind of interesting. I don't know. You know, taking a picture of your feet is really something in general. But as long as you have shoes on, I think you're okay. A lot of people have those feet phobias. I don't know what that's all about. But, I'm not in love with anybody's feet. But feet phobias, you know, that seems to go both ways. Some people have feet phobias, and then some people really love feet. You know, I'm kind of indifferent on feet. Feet are just feet. They get you from one place to another. Okay. Well, I'm going to get into something here momentarily, but does anybody have any questions on anything we've covered this morning here so far? This wide array of subjects that we've went through. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Up to 51 degrees and sunny skies here in Marion, 41 minutes past the hour. So far, we've talked about the weather report for Mother's Day changing. Looks like it's going to be cool, but not rainy at this point. What kind of gifts do you get Mom for Mother's Day? We're looking for some suggestions. What should you get Mom for Mother's Day? The whole Twinkie eating contest that we brought up yesterday. What's your current opinion on that? We'd like to know. Brody would like to set a record in 10 minutes of 50 Twinkies. Maybe he will. Maybe he won't. What do you make of the posts on Facebook? Some of them being kind of sad. When you read a sad post, does it bring you down? I don't know. Maybe it does. Maybe it doesn't. Did anybody see the shoe post on Facebook that I put up? Do you have any idea what those shoes are? And what do you think of Sugar Creek and interesting places to go in Ohio? Are there any interesting spots that you would like to point out in Ohio? I like Sugar Creek right now. I think Toledo's a good one. I think the Maumee area is a good one. Certainly the Tiffin Flea Market, the Tiffin area, Ontario, and possibly Blooming Grove at this point. Although I don't think there's anything over in Blooming Grove except pretty much at this point the historical marker, which marks where President Harding was born. I think that's pretty much all there is in Blooming Grove at this point. Anyway, 740-751-4038. Anything on your mind this morning in regard to those subjects or anything else, give me a buzz. I'd love to hear from you. The participation from the listener out there is something I always really enjoy when doing this show. 740-751-4038. Now, what else? There was one other thing that I wanted to mention here. Oh, again, the sad accident here in Marion County last night in which the 45-year-old gentleman lost his life in a motorcycle accident. You know, it just teaches us again and again, tomorrow is not promised. And this comes back to the post I was talking about in regard to illness earlier on. You know, a lot of people not feeling well, and we're getting updates on people on social media. But the truth of the matter is that I'm sure that this 45-year-old gentleman who got on his Harley-Davidson yesterday did not think that he was not going to see today. And it's horrible that he's not going to see today, that that accident would happen. But boy, I'll tell you, nothing is promised. Don't put off doing something, especially when it comes to human beings. I mean, if you have a grudge with somebody, if you're having a fight with somebody, if you've said something nasty to somebody, you know, apologize or just talk to them, because you don't know if they're going to be here tomorrow. It's very important that we realize that. I don't think as human beings we ever comprehend that. I think we think we're all going to be here forever, and I think we all think that everybody else is going to be here forever, and that's not the case. It just isn't. And when you think of somebody 45 years of age losing their life last night, I think that just puts it all into perspective. You know, do any of you out there listening, do you hold a grudge? Do you not talk to certain people because of things that have happened? You know, I really wonder about that. I think that is so not necessary. If somebody played a part in your life that was important, why not tell them? You know, I went through this a few weeks ago. I think that you really have got to tell the people what they mean to you. You know, it's important. You know, we don't tend to do that in life because it's more of the abnormal. We like to point out people's flaws all the time, and we like to gossip about people, but we don't like to point out people's good points. And why we don't do that, I don't know. It makes the person feel better. I think it makes you feel better when you're able to say nice things about people. The big part of this, by the way, there's a little psychology here this morning. The truth is, sometimes we think that people know how we feel, but I don't. They really don't. They might think that you like them as a person. They might think that you did something nice for them as a person, but they probably don't really know how you feel about them unless you tell them. And we always wait for a retirement party or a death to tell somebody. I bet you a lot of people will be saying a lot of nice things about this person who sadly died last night today, and talking about him in a lot of different circles and crying for him in a lot of different circles, and he's not here to see it. And that is a tragedy in and of itself, adding to the tragedy of him dying at such a young age. So think about that today. Take 10 minutes. Contact somebody you haven't talked to in a while who was important in your life. You know what's funny? We're so close with people in our lives. You know, some people you talk to and you see every day, and then all of a sudden you don't anymore. And that's it. Well, think if something would happen to that person. If you really cared about them, would you want that to be your last conversation with them? Probably not. So work on that. Do something nice today. Contact somebody and tell them what they mean to you. And they don't even have to say anything nice back. If they want to be rude back to you, that's fine. At least you got it off your chest. All right, what do you think about any of this? 47 minutes past the hour. 740-751-4038. A real psychological morning here this morning. Cerebral morning. Brought on by a number of topics. 740-751-4038. And also, you know, I know a lot of these fights and feuds come about because people think you have wronged them. And a lot of times, that's not the case. Miscommunication is a big thing when it comes to human beings. And sometimes you just have to talk it out and say, listen, that's not what happened. I'm sorry you believe that's what happened, but that's not what happened. And there you go. And sometimes we have to admit to being wrong and saying, you know, maybe I did think that's what happened. Anybody have any thoughts on forgiveness? Forgiveness is a big topic. 740-751-4038. Or just being able to talk to somebody civilly who maybe you had a nice relationship with at one point. You know, friends are few and far between. And friendships, I do believe, last longer than most relationships. So why burn the forest down to what? Save the weeds or save the grass? I don't know what that saying would be. I have no idea what I was just saying. But, you know, don't burn the forest down with people, I guess, is the point. Don't burn the bridge for whatever reason. 740-751-4038. Plus, you never know when somebody will need you for something. Okay. By the way, again, phone lines are open, and we'd love to hear from you. 49 minutes past the hour. I think we must not have anybody out there this morning who feels they've been wronged or need to apologize for anything. And maybe we don't know what Mom wants for Mother's Day. Do you think it's still the hanging basket and to go out to eat? Maybe that's still the Mother's Day thing. I'm not sure. Who knows? 740-751-4038. Well, it occurred to me yesterday that one of the most popular things going on now are these true crime shows. Everybody loves to see somebody get murdered. We love to see a murder, and then we love to hear 45 minutes about this murder and how it happened and why it happened and so on and so forth. And then we like to see the person get caught, and they make Netflix miniseries about this and so on and so forth. So to not be outdone, we want to do true crime on this show. Now, we'll do this from time to time. But now here's a true crime story dating back many, many years at this point. But it did happen in the month of May, so this is why I chose it. Now here's the story. I don't know how many of you have heard this, but I think it's pretty interesting. In the early hours of Monday, May the 28th, 1934, two women lay in the same room in the Marion City Hospital with only a screen separating them. One of the women, a 38-year-old widow named Vesta Smith, was grievously wounded with a gunshot and would die a few hours later. The other woman, 39-year-old Bessie Myers, had been admitted after claiming she mistook biochloride of mercury, a potentially deadly poison, for aspirin. Finally, Vesta spoke. "Well, Bessie, you almost got me." "Yeah, I guess I did," replied Bessie. Incredibly, it would soon come to light that Bessie was the person responsible for shooting Vesta earlier in the night. The would-be killer and her victim were sharing the same hospital room. On the previous day, Sunday, May 27th, Bessie's husband, 49-year-old Marion Steam Shovel foundry worker Charlie Myers, disappeared. Bessie was certain he had gone over to Vesta Smith's house for a tryst. We don't use that word anymore, do we, tryst? Bessie suspected the two of them had been having an affair for around a year. "I can't stand it any longer," Bessie wrote in a note investigators later found. in the 671 Gay Street home she shared with Charlie. When he still hadn't returned home by evening, Bessie decided to go find her husband and make him come home. This wouldn't be the first time she'd gone to Vesta's house to fetch her husband, but it would be the last time. Well, maybe he'd had more trysts. When Bessie arrived at Vesta's house at 728 North State Street, Vesta's 25-year-old daughter, Clea, met her at the door and told her Charlie wasn't there. Ignoring her, Bessie pushed past Clea and walked into the house to confront both Vesta and Charlie. Clea, wanting to avoid an ugly confrontation, stepped out onto the front porch. A few moments later, Clea heard gunshots and rushed back into the house to find her mom on the floor and Bessie holding a gun. "Did you shoot my mother?" she asked Bessie, who then threatened to shoot her as well. Bessie sounds like she had a temper. Clea fled the scene to get help. Charlie stopped to lift Vesta's prone body up off the floor and asked Bessie to fetch Vesta a glass of water. When you're shot, you need a glass of water. Bessie, still furious, grabbed a nearby bucket of water and threw it on Vesta. Well, I'll tell you, temper. Although Bessie had fired three shots, only one actually struck Vesta. The bullet entered just below her breastbone, passing through her stomach, kidney, and liver before exiting her right hip. In a panic, Charlie and Bessie fled the scene in the direction of the fairgrounds. It was in this area that Bessie threw the gun away. Although search was made for the .38 caliber revolver, later police were unable to recover it before trial. The couple then made their way to East Fairground Street and began walking west. As they reached North Main Street, Bessie told Charlie she had taken biochloride of mercury and was starting to feel ill. Her husband persuaded a pastor at Emmanuel Baptist Church to call a taxi for them, and they were rushed to the hospital. As Vesta was being treated at the hospital, police began searching for Bessie. They even sat outside of the Myers home that night, hoping that Bessie might return. It must have been quite a shock then to investigators questioning Vesta about where she thought Bessie might be when they heard the woman in the next bed say, "Why, here I am." Well, at least she was honest. Bessie later made a sworn statement to the Marion County prosecuting attorney, Russell Wilhelm, in which she readily admitted to shooting Vesta. Unsurprisingly, Bessie Myers was immediately charged with first-degree murder. Charlie Myers, apparently deciding to stand by Bessie, hired Grant Mauser and Grant Mauser Jr., a father and son team of lawyers, to defend Bessie. With her husband by her side, Bessie Myers was arraigned on June 6th and pled not guilty. She was held without bail in the county jail. On June 21st, 1934, a grand jury was convened, and in what must have been a disappointment to the prosecution, indicted Bessie on a reduced charge of manslaughter rather than first-degree murder. On June 27th, 1934, the Marion Star reported that the trial date had been set for July 24th in the meantime. Bessie would be out on bail. Her legal team was preparing a defense that argued the shooting was self-defense and therefore justifiable. The Star reported that around 200 people sat packed in the gallery. In fact, seats in the courtroom were in such high demand during the trial that many observers refused to leave them, even during breaks, for fear of losing them. The first witness for the prosecution was Vesta's daughter, Clea. She testified that while Charlie Myers visited her mom frequently, the visits were social rather than romantic. Vesta, she said, made and sold beer for a living, and Charlie would stop by to buy beer and have a few drinks with her. She claimed she never saw the two of them embrace. Clea did, however, admit she knew Bessie was deeply unhappy about her mom's relationship with Charlie. She related one memorable incident where she and Vesta drove over to the Myers house. After pulling up in front of the house, Vesta called out for Charlie, who soon emerged and jumped into the car to go for a ride with them. When the threesome returned, Bessie came out of the house with a gun and fired a shot into the ground, warning Vesta to leave her husband alone. After Clea, the state only called two other witnesses, the Marion County coroner and the Marion City police captain that night, who were on duty when the shooting occurred. By contrast, the defense called 19 witnesses, most of them character witnesses, describing Vesta's reputation as bad and Bessie's reputation as good. The last two witnesses were the Myers themselves. Charlie Myers took the stand on the last day of the trial. Frustratingly, the Marion Star provided only a summary of the testimony. Charlie Myers testified regarding his relations with the late Miss Smith and told of frequent visits to her home. He was on the stand for more than an hour. Bessie was the last witness in the trial. She did not dispute many of the crucial facts. Yes, she had taken a loaded revolver to Vesta's home. Yes, she had pushed her way into the house to find her husband. Yes, she had shot Vesta. However, her testimony also provided jurors with some insight into both her state of mind and, critically, how she could claim self-defense for shooting a woman in her own home. Over the previous year, Bessie explained, she had gone to Vesta's house on a number of occasions to get Charlie and bring him back home, incidents that caused her mental grief over her husband's conduct. She took the gun, she claimed, because she was afraid of Vesta, who had a reputation as a fighter. Bessie never intended on using it. In fact, she even reiterated Clea's earlier testimony that pulling a gun on Vesta, it seems Bessie wanted to emphasize that she'd had the opportunity to shoot Vesta before, but hadn't. And we got to go to break. The verdict after this 15-minute break. What'll happen?
You're listening to WWGH Radio LP 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio. The Talking Place. From broadcasting legends Charlie Evers and Marianne Michaels.
Alexander Hamilton is going off the $10 bill in 5 years. So long, Alexander. And he is going to put a woman on mayor on 2020 on the $10.